Episode 16. Cole and Rusty are back this week after taking some time off for Thanksgiving. We talk about MetaWin, Tiger being derailed this month, and an almost Rainmaker W. Here we go. Before we get started, we have to give a thanks to our sponsor, Spartan Insurance in Greenville, South Carolina. The owner is a friend of the show and a friend of mine, Jay Keller. He deals with every form of insurance, from personal to commercial, and will take excellent care of you and your insurance needs. Give him a call for a quote today, 864-533-3350, or visit his website at www.spartaninsure.com. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Cole. I've got Rusty here with me tonight, and this is Web 3 Putts. Rusty, we took a week off for Thanksgiving, but we're back. How are you?
Couldn't be better. Getting into the Christmas spirit. Had a good Thanksgiving, with the exception of somebody didn't make macaroni and cheese, which really bothered me. Made a big stink at Thanksgiving dinner. Wasn't my best moment, but live and you learn, and we're here today.
Mac,
how about
and
you?
Cheese,
you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah, mac and cheese has got to be the staple for me. I love a good mac and cheese. And
me too. And you know, it really sucks because my sister-in-law is gluten-free and something else, so she didn't even eat it. And then my wife, because of our newest addition, is soy-free and dairy-free right now. And she usually makes it, but she didn't think about it because she couldn't eat it. Very selfish of her, if I might say. But, so we didn't have it. And, you know, we were like 20, 30 minutes before dinner. And that's when I finally when I realized. And I went in the pantry and was just about to whip something up really quick.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, we have Kraft. I'm like, all right, let's just go eat.
You needed the Kraft, the little the little cartoon ones, you know, you throw in there with a little milk.
Yeah, that's what they were trying to do. And then I went on Pinterest and tried to find, you know, a 20-minute Southern mac and cheese recipe that I could do real quick. But that was I just gave up. Now, for now on, going forward, mac and cheese will be made by me, so I have nobody but myself to blame if we don't have it.
Well, now they know. Now they know. But yeah, I had a good one. Went home for a few days, and it was good other than the Clemson game. Was there to watch that debacle.
Yeah. That's terrible.
Very easy to tell. Our quarterback is the worst. And yeah, not a good day.
Yeah.
But
no, it's been a really shitty sports week. For me personally, the Clemson game obviously was terrible. The Broncos suck. They're the worst team in the NFL. And then get all jacked up because, you know, Tiger starts playing. It's like Tiger month. He was supposed to play his tournament, the Hero, and then the PNC with his son, and then the match with JT, Rory, and JT, Rory, who I don't know.
Spieth,
yeah. And so I was looking forward to that this week. And then, you know, you get the tweet comes up on Tuesday that he's, or Monday, that he's withdrawn from the Hero this week. And it's like, damn. It just.
Plantar fasciitis, right? Is that what he said?
Yeah, it just keeps snowballing, right? And yeah. It just want the guy to play. I mean, at this point, I don't care if he plays four times or six times or two times a year. I just want him to be able to play and at least know when he's going to play.
Yeah. Apparently that stuff hurts pretty bad. My dad has that. He's like sitting in the living room with a water bottle. It freezes a water bottle. He's going to like roll his foot on it. Can't hardly walk.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can't walk hardly when it hurts.
Yeah, I've never had it.
Me neither.
Although I did, not to get off Tiger topic, but I did play on Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Woke up. I don't know. I felt like I slept weird. Left ankle was just bothering the shit out of me. I'm like, I'm not going to play. This isn't, like, I can't swing. Being a lefty, that's like my load leg. And I'm like, you know what? I'll pop some ibuprofen. And then it was cold too. It was like, for us, I mean, it was like 38 degrees when we teed off at 8:30 in the morning.
No, thank you.
But I had a few gummies in the bag. So I popped one of those. By the fourth hole, man, I was striping it. Just
there you go. Hitting
it, and everything went well. So it was good to get back out there and play since the last time I played with you. And
yeah,
played a pretty cool course.
What's your cutoff as far as temperature? I saw a tweet the other day. I think it was Shane Bacon was asking this, and he had a picture where he was playing, like, slipped on ice and fell on his back with his bag on his back.
Well, good. I hope Shane Bacon falls a lot.
most of the people were voting like under 45. They were not playing.
Yeah. So when I was in my 20s, I would play. If they let us out, I would play. If the greens were frozen, I didn't care. As long as they let us out, like, we would take drills out to the first tee to put our tee in, right?
God.
I didn't care. Like, I would play. Yeah. But now, I mean, I almost didn't want to play because it was going to be 38 in the morning, but it turned out to be like 60 by the time we got through the turn and was just wearing, you know, just a little quarter zip, but, or a hoodie. First hoodie round of my life. Ooh. Really enjoyed it.
How was it? Going to
do that more often. Yeah, I liked it. Felt good. But yeah, I would prefer the 45 would be ideal. If I know it's going to warm up rather quickly, then I can, you know, 30, 35 or right around there would probably be my cutoff, as long as it's going to warm up to above 50 at some point.
All right.
But you know, it also, you know, with as many kids as I have, I don't get as many opportunities to play, so I can't be as picky as I used to be.
Yeah.
So when I get the chance, I just got to go do it.
So I played.
What about you?
I played. Yeah, I can't. Under 40 degrees, I'm probably not going. Unless it's like a tournament, something like that. I mean, it happened the other weekend when I played that member guest. It was like in the 30s in the mornings, but really didn't have a choice. But if I have to choose and I'm just going to go look at a tee sheet and make a tee time and it's 30 something. No, but I did play two. I guess we didn't have a pod last. It was not last Sunday, but the Sunday before. And it's like 50. So I thought, oh, it'd be fine. We go out there and the wind's whipping like 20 miles an hour.
I don't know.
Overcast. It was freezing. I've never worn a beanie for a whole round. I'd wore a beanie, wore short socks. That was a big mistake. My ankles were freezing.
Get longer pants.
Yeah, well, I didn't quite have like the Van Buren, whatever that guy's name, Van Roon, whatever his name is, with the short.
Oh, Van Royen, Eric Van Royen. You didn't have the joggers on?
No joggers, but played pretty good on the front, and then it got really cold on the back. We played the Dye over there at Colleton, and it's all on the water, so it even got colder.
Yeah, that's tough.
Got pretty brutal, so my back nine was no good, but had a good front nine. I left there feeling good.
Well, that's good. I'm sure Bill will be happy to hear that.
Saw Bill today. Was in there grinding. Got a new move I'm working on. I think it's going to be the ticket.
Okay.
Playing actually Friday up at GCC in Greenville. Chanticleer.
Okay.
Sweet. Going to see if I can go low out there. I haven't been out there since the mid-2000s probably, when I was in high school.
I think I'm supposed to play out there sometime in December. I don't know when yet. I got to talk to the guy that takes me out there once a year.
That'll be cold, probably.
Yeah, it will be.
Pick a hot day.
Well, luckily, I can just say, hey, let's play at like 10 or 9.
Yeah.
So it won't be because I got to drive down. So it won't be too bad. But, yeah, we'll definitely pick a day that the weather's much better.
Yeah, I think we're at like 10:30, 10:40, something like that.
Yeah, you should be all right.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Hard track. I saw it's not in the top 100 this year. It used to always be. But I don't know if it was last year or not, but it's not in there this year.
Mm.
It was always in like the 90s.
Yeah, very difficult course. I agree.
Yeah, very hard. I'm going to have to hit the driver good. So
mm-hmm.
We'll sleep on it, pray on it.
There you go.
Fairways and greens, baby.
You see the news. You see Tiger talk about Greg needs to go just like Rory did, and we kind of talked about on the pod with Bill.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what you pretty much said on the pod a couple weeks ago. Yeah, I saw that. I saw a video of Tiger talking about it today. Actually, I watched it, and I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think if he's right, where, you know, if they want to have any camaraderie or, you know, the friction to go away, that something's got to happen. Something's got to change. You know, Tiger's say is going to be pretty loud on the PGA Tour, and I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what I really think about it.
I don't either. I mean, I do think if Norman was not a part of it, then you know, he would. The dialogue would probably be stronger, but with him being, you know, the front man or the face of Liv, I think it hinders any progress that can be made. And I don't, you know, not putting fault on anybody on that. The tour guys don't like Greg. They haven't liked him forever. Greg doesn't like the tour. So, you know, I don't know. I just what does it matter? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't sound like the tour wants to talk at all. Jay Monahan has said that he doesn't have any reason to sit down with Liv. So does that change depending on who is going to be, you know, who is the face of Liv, you know, from a CEO or general manager or manager standpoint? I don't know, but
yeah.
You know, I don't think it was a shock to anybody that what Tiger said, you know, echoing what Rory said and, you know, some other tour guys, you know, they've had that stance and they're going to stick by it, and that's fine. I mean, the two can coexist.
Yeah. You would like to see them at some point come together where they could have some kind of matches or something, you know, though, surely at some point, but
I think it's just all about the majors to me. Like, if I don't really know how many of the tour guys really give a shit if they play, or the Liv guys care if they play on the PGA Tour, but they just want to have that ability to play in the majors. Because it's no shock. Like, I mean, some of these guys are the best in the world. So if you're going to keep DJ out of, you know, a major because he plays on Liv, like the PGA Championship, for instance, because his world ranking points, then your field is weaker because you're not allowing DJ to play. But I mean, honestly, like, I know we had the Liv minute, but there's really not a whole lot to add about the whole situation at this time, anyway. Not until other guys go or they're releasing their schedule.
You would think they would want them to play in those tournaments because, you know, they always say if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. You know, that's always kind of the saying. And if you're going to leave the best players out of it, I don't see how you can look back and, you know, justify that you were the best. And Tiger was kind of saying, you know, if you're going to compare yourself to Hogan and Snead and Nicholas and all, that you're not going to get that on the Live Tour, which I guess for now he's right, but I guess those guys can build their own, you know, legacy down the road.
But who's to say that anybody wants to compare themselves to Nicholas or Hogan or Tiger or that? I mean,
Yeah, I mean, Bill kind of mentioned it too. Like, you know, there's very few people that are like Tiger that care that much about their legacy and trying to, you know, put their name in the history books. Most of those guys are just trying to get a paycheck. You know, it's their job.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
So it's, yeah, I mean, of course,
Tiger. Yeah, when you hear it from Rory and you hear it from Tiger, those are a different breed. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's
the top tier players ever.
That's like hearing, you know, Tom Brady talk about the quarterback position compared to, Taylor Heinicke. Yeah, or Taylor Heinicke for the Commanders talking about the quarterback position. They're just different things. Or Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, not everybody wants to go down in history as an all-time great.
Right.
And very few do. I mean, I've never been that good at anything, I don't think, to go down as in the best of history. But, you know, if you could have a career for 25 years playing professional golf, you're going to do pretty well, regardless of where you play.
You might go down as a GOAT podcaster. You know, I don't know. We're aiming for it.
Hey, let's do it.
Did you see, while we're still on the Live Minute, I was trying to get to the bottom of this, and I could not find anything on the Pat Perez and Phil beef scandal, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I can't either.
Have you watched?
I looked into it as well, and
Pat Perez apparently won't comment on what he said, but it apparently upset his wife, or he said something to his wife, and
did he say it? Did he do something? I mean, is that we know if it was an action or was it
I don't know.
Pat Perez won't talk about it, then it's got to be pretty bad.
We got to get Phil to talk about it then, if Pat won't. But maybe Phil won't admit it. He did apologize, though, apparently, and Pat said no. He won't accept his apology. There's got to be something pretty bad for it to...
Maybe he tried to get Perez's wife to join in with him and Amy in the swinger world.
Maybe, dude. I don't know. Maybe it'll come out by the time our next pod does. But yeah, I looked for a good hour trying to figure out what the deal was and couldn't. And I think a bunch of people have asked Pat, and he won't comment as far as what the details were. He just said he hates Phil. A deep hatred.
Yeah. Right. Which is... I mean, that's the one thing I would say about Liv coming out now is, like, you're starting to really see some rivalries being, you know, they were all buddy-buddy. They're on the plane together, you know, drinking shots and all that. And, oh, we're the Liv guys. But now you're starting to see, like, the personalities come out and the guys start to not like each other. Like, I would really love to see another, maybe not a Brooks Bryson feud, but you know, DJ and Brooks used to be really good friends and now they don't even talk. And
they used to work out together and stuff, right?
Yeah, like they were best friends. Brooks always called DJ his best friend on the PGA Tour, and now they don't even speak. So I really like to see some of that happen with, you know, now they're solidifying teams and you can get, you know, some rivalries going and shake it up a little, not all this buddy-buddy bullshit that's on the PGA Tour these days.
Yeah.
Not that I don't, like, again, I'm not shitting on JT and Tiger and Rory being best friends. Like, that's cool. That's great. But, you know, I do like a little bit of controversy in my sports.
Absolutely. And
in my world.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to ruffle a few feathers every now and then. I saw, too, you're talking about DeChambeau. Did you see where he admitted that maybe his bulk up was not the best idea, and now he's doing this like shred cut thing? Dude was ripped. He put a picture up.
No, I haven't. Yes. I haven't seen it.
So he was talking about like the whole eating diet.
Yeah, like seven
the massive protein intake and all was not actually a good idea. He basically said like he got too big. So he's doing this whole like massive cut thing. He's really shredded. He put a picture up without a shirt on.
Oh, wow. He is.
He's a beast. So I don't know. Maybe that'll help his game some, because I, you know, he did get way too big. Yeah, at some point, you get non-flexible.
I wonder what it's going to do to his long drive aspirations.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably over. Although a lot of that's just speed. You don't have to be massively big to do that.
No. Yeah, I guess once you get the speed, you can keep it as long as you stay flexible and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, I was doing a lot of those like bigger, like heavy lifting type workouts, and I was like, man, I don't know if that's good for golf. So I started trying some different stuff here too. Maybe he stole my idea, but we're gonna say
you know what really screwed me up when I got it. We like everybody during COVID 2020, we got a Peloton, and I was rocking out the Peloton like every day. 30 minutes to an hour, and then I would go try to play golf, and for some reason, it just, like, made my hips, like, really, really tight, and I couldn't get through the ball, and everything was just, like, a high push out left, and I was talking to my buddy that's a gym instructor at, like, you know, some of these boutique places, but who I was playing with, he was like, absolutely, like, The Peloton is probably the worst thing for golfers. And then I went back and read a couple articles about Rory. When Rory was really struggling a few years ago, he was very big into the Peloton bike for like cardio and whatnot. And that was one of the things, and he didn't even do it anymore.
I was like, do you want some more? Is that Peloton? That commercial? you know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
Okay. Well, anyway, yeah, I haven't ever done a Peloton, but I have read a bunch of stuff that they say like that, and a lot of cardio is not actually good for golf. Walking a lot's not. Some of that other stuff's not particularly well for golf. They say more like sprints, like explosiveness type stuff, but not your long like runs fast walks.
Twitch stuff.
Yeah, and bikes, and it's supposed to not be very good for golf.
That would make sense. I mean,
good thing I'm not a cardio guy.
Tight. Yeah. Obviously, look at me either. It makes sense with, you know, the tightness you get in your hips. I mean, unless you can dedicate like an hour's worth of workout and then an hour's worth of stretching.
Yeah.
Which, you know, guys on tour can do that, but I damn sure can. I can't even fit in a 20-minute workout right now. So,
yeah.
No, it makes sense. I mean, the walking thing kind of, I even know it. Like, if I walk 36 holes on a daily, by the back nine on the second 18, like, I'm tight as shit.
Oh, yeah.
My hips are real tight.
Yeah. I used to always do, they say, like, incline walking is supposed to be good for cardio, weight loss stuff. So I used to always do that. And, yeah, you do that and then go try to walk. Like, you can't swing a club. So no. I quit doing that.
Smart. But, yeah, just get ripped.
Yeah, I'm just going full DeChambeau. I've got his driver, so I'm just going to have to get ripped.
I want to give a shout-out to our sponsor.
Ooh.
Spartan Insurance.
Spartan Insurance.
So we got a property that we needed to get some homeowner's insurance on.
Okay.
And so I was like, you know what? Let's give old Jay a call. He hooked it up, called him. He had a quote over to me in like 3 minutes.
Nice.
Had to make a couple changes to it. Texted him, boom, another quote back to me. Sent it over to the mortgage, to the bank. They took care of it. Everything's good to go. We're rocked out. So, you know, I know he's more local here in the Southeast, but if anybody is listening. And you need to look into it. Price was good. Response was great. So, you know, give Jay a call. Definitely.
Testimony. We got a user here. Love it.
Got a user. His sponsorship got one, at least one new customer. Yeah. So
he's so glad he did that now.
He never would have got me if it wasn't, though.
That's right.
You know?
You're welcome, Jay.
That's right.
You're welcome,
exactly.
Jay.
Now I just need to get some Bueller wine,
yeah.
Because you know, like I mentioned, my wife can't eat soy or dairy right now, so I need to find out from your folks over there if any of their, for some reason I found out that some wine, more like the high production ones, like the $8, $10, $9, or $11 bottles, some of them contain dairy. And it's, I don't know the whole,
anything about
the wine process. I think it's like some sort of like wash that they do. But yeah, like one of the cheap wines that my wife really likes to drink, she can't drink right now because it does contain dairy. So
I meant to give you a bottle when you were here and I forgot, but yeah, let's, we'll get with Helen. Actually, Hellcat, talk to her. She's, she might be our next guest on the pod.
Oh shit.
I figure we have to get all our sponsors on here. Hellcat's kind of famous. She's on a YouTube video with Gary V. If you haven't, seen that, it's pretty good. Shout out to Hellcat.
All full circle.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to bring her on. She loves NFTs. I don't know that, but she loves golf and wine. So yeah, maybe next week we'll have her on. She can give you the rundown on milk if it's in there, if it's not. And if it's not, we'll send you some bottles.
Hell yeah.
Let's do it. Hey. Do you love wines from Sonoma? Well, it's never too late to stop making bad life decisions. Dedicated to honesty, quality, and family, Bueller Vineyards is a fourth-generation vineyard and winery perched on a mountaintop just 5 country miles east of St. Helena in the heart of Napa Valley. Situated on 300 acres, their family has been farming Cabernet Sauvignon and Zinfandel for more than 5 decades. They attempt to combine meticulous vineyard management and minimal winemaking techniques to create wines of uncommon complexity and depth and to present these wines to their customers at a fair and reasonable price. Cab is king and Napa is its kingdom. Recruiting Solutions. Stay ahead of the hire. Recruiting Solutions is a full-service staffing, temp, employment, and recruitment agency with offices located in Greenville, Columbia, and Florence, South Carolina. With over 8 years of consecutive top 25 companies to work for in South Carolina, Forbes Top 100 Professional Recruiting, Forbes Top 100 Staffing Agency, and over 30 years in business, whether you're looking for your next employee or your next career, give Recruiting Solutions a call.
Supdux is at 0.15.
Yeah. Did you win one? So Rainmakers, let's hear it. You were up so, there.
All right, so full disclosure, I love Rainmakers.
Okay? How many packs have you bought?
I have bought 5 packs. I got my core pack, and then I got a pack of the Dead Fellas, and then I think I bought, no, 4 packs. I bought 4. And then I have bought like individual cards if I needed, you know, to fill out a game. And the thing is, like, you can only use your players once. So if you want to enter two contests in a week, you have to have enough cards or NFTs to be able to do it. You can't use like Trevor Lawrence. If you have 1 Trevor Lawrence, you can't use it for both games. You can only use it for 1 of them, right? So, So yeah, this weekend I had because I bought a Sly Croc, I had a free entry into a reserved entry into the Sly Croc contest. And in the Sly Croc contest, I think it was 1st place, 2nd place, 3rd place won a Supduck, plus they won cash or money. First place I think was like $3,000. Second place was $1,800. Third place was $1,000. Fourth place was $500. Fifth place was $300, and then so on and so forth.
Do you have to pay to enter these?
No. So if you have the NFT, if you have the cards that can fill up your roster, that's your entry fee into it.
So all of them are quote unquote free.
They're free, but you've already paid.
You've had the NFT. Yeah, yeah.
I got you. You paid for the NFT, right? So, right. So I've invested, I don't know, let's say $150 into the NFTs. Most of the contests that you enter, you're going to win, you know, like they'll be like 50-50. So 50% of the field wins $5, 50% wins nothing. That's kind of the most of them, especially if you're playing in like that core to low rare contests. When you get up into the legendary and the elite, that's when you get into like first place wins, you know, $40,000, whatnot. But you have to invest so much money into those to get into it anyway that it doesn't, you know, it. I think we talked about how like the return on investment was much smaller that way.
Right.
So anyway, I had this entry into the Slackrock, went over the pay. So I put in my team. It was Trevor Lawrence, T. Higgins, Travis Kelce, Josh Jacobs, and Keenan Allen. So it was five players. That's all you had to put in. And so I hadn't checked it all morning, or I hadn't checked it like at the whole 1 o'clock games. It was only 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock games. And then I saw Trevor, you know, Trevor threw that touchdown at the end, got the 2-point conversion. None of my other guys had played. Oh, T. Higgins went off. He had a good first. He had a good game. So I looked at it, and when I sent it to you, I was in 14th place, and I was winning like $40.
Yep.
So I'm like, all right, this is sweet. This is sweet. Keep watching it. Josh Jacobs goes off.
Yeah, he did.
Like, I mean, insane, right? So I'm still watching it. And then, you know, it's the 4 o'clock games. You know, my kids and my wife are eating dinner, and I'm over by the computer just refreshing. So I get up to sixth, and I'm winning like $150.
Yep.
And then something happens. Jump up to fifth. $300. Jump to fourth, $500. Jump to second, $1,850.
And a sub duck.
Well, no, that was, I guess it was whatever the price of the sub ducks. I think it was $345 for the sub duck.
Yeah.
So that take that off the $1,845 or whatever. Okay. So $1,500. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, here we go. So, you know, everybody in the top have all, we all had the same players except for like maybe a few here and there. My outlier was Keenan Allen. No one had Keenan Allen within like the first, you know, 1 through 7.
Yeah.
And then, so I'm in second place. I don't think I can get to first. Chargers score, touchdown. They have to go, they go for two. I'm like, all right, Keenan Allen. They run a play where they use Keenan Allen as like a decoy. The other wide receiver comes in right behind him, catches a 2-point conversion. I'm like, all right. So I drop down to sixth, and I'm winning 150. And I'm like, I've been here before. Not this much money, but I've been here before where I'm winning like 150. Like I'm up there high, and then there's like 5 minutes to go in all the games, and then at the end of it, I win like $20.
Yeah, come
like on regular DraftKings or FanDuel. So I'm expecting that, but I'm still refreshing because I know I'm close.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, long make the story a little bit shorter. I ended up finishing fifth, so two out of sub ducks. Won $300.
Nice.
If Keenan Allen would have caught that 2-point conversion, I would have got second place. Missed out of second place by 1.97 points, and a 2-point conversion is 2 points.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's still damn good, though. I've never finished that.
No, it's great. No, it's great. I mean, that's the other cool thing about Rainmakers is there's not a ton of people involved in it yet.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, NFT-based. So, like, your contest, instead of on DraftKings or FanDuel where your contest might be 50,000 people going for a $10,000 purse or whatever.
Yeah.
On this, like, you can go on it right now and you can get in a game that's less than 800 people in it. So your odds of making money are better.
Yeah. So I keep getting those Slackrock invites, but I haven't joined one of the contests because my players suck. I got to get some better cards.
Yeah, and that's the other cool thing is, like, when you're entering it, there's, like, a little slide track. So you can slide it to your cards when you're filling out your roster, or you can do all the cards in the marketplace to go buy. So, like, I bought Trevor Lawrence, not this week, but a couple weeks ago I bought him, and because my quarterbacks were trash. And so I bought him. He was cheap. You know, I bought some of the other guys, too, and – So you can buy them right then and there, and then you can sell them. Like I have two Alvin Kamaras. I have a rare and then a rare Deadfellas one, and then I have a just a regular one. So I put the other one on the marketplace for like $8. So if someone buys it, I'll just flip that and go buy other cards.
Yeah, I got to get into it. I mean, I like the idea, and like you said, you have a better chance of winning, and you just proved that.
Yeah, and this week is I got the email. They're doing a Web3 NFT contest. So for all the different levels, core, rare, elite, legendary, I think are the four. So for core, that contest, which is five players, five core guys, or you can use your rare guys if you want. It doesn't give you extra points or anything, but you can use them if that's what you have. But it the one I'm doing, and shout out to Jay again, first three places in it get a Lazy Lion.
Ooh, okay.
Right, so then, and then the next level was rare. First three places get an MF-er. Legendary. Elite, maybe. Elite was Mutant Ape.
Really?
The top one, Legendary, I think. Might have been a Doodle. And then there was a... let me look it up real quick because I have it.
So which one are you entering?
I entered the core because I don't have enough rare cards to get into a rare event.
Okay.
Because on the rare one, you have to have... It's nine cards, I think. Eight of them have to be rare. And I only have like four rares.
So you're going for the Lazy Lion.
Going for the Lazy Lion.
That's pretty cool, though. I mean, that makes it fun. It's not just money, and you know, you can win. The Mutant would be sick.
Mutant would be sick, but that's elite. So you got to, your investment for the, I don't have it here, but I think it was, there was one more, but it's cool. I really enjoy it. And I wish I would have done it all year, but now that I know about it, I mean, it's something I'm going to do. Continue to do, especially now that I got $300 extra dollar bankroll that I can use. I don't have to use my own money to buy more cards.
Sweet. I have to get into it. Maybe I'll play for the last couple weeks here.
Yeah, I mean, there's 6 weeks left, so.
Yeah.
And the good thing is that Matt Kalish is so into NFTs that there's always going to be contests that you can win an NFT.
Yeah, good giveaways. About winning NFTs and mutants, have you been entering any meta win contest?
I have. That's another thing I'm absolutely in love with.
That's more of a gamble, I feel like. You're just kind of, I don't know.
Cool Cats was the other one that I was forgetting. It is more of a gamble, but you know, you could, all it takes is one.
That's true.
There's only 16, last I saw, 16,000 wallets connected?
Oh, really? Yeah.
Or maybe it's up to 18 now. Now, granted, you could enter, your one wallet could enter 100 entries into one of them, but it costs like an ETH.
That's what I feel like happens. Those whales go in there and do that for those, you know, if you put one ETH into a 16 ETH mutant, worth it if you got 100 something entries and everybody else has one. Your odds got to be pretty good.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. But like I also, said, it just takes one, right? So
yeah, just got to get the right one. I entered a couple and I told you about it and I haven't done any since because I'm out of ETH. But yeah, I need to stack up a little bit and go back and try.
So today, MetaWin tweeted out that they invested 64 ETH into the Killabears community. So they bought a ton of Killabears.
Jeez.
So they're going to be auctioning those off.
You like those, right? I've seen them. Well, I don't really think about them.
They're sick. I don't know much about them, but they're sick.
Yeah,
where are we at?
I think I had texted you about it, and this is kind of old news, but we didn't have the pod where that guy that was that dead fella's whale got upset with Betty and all, and he took all his dead fellas and I think bought into killer bears from what I saw.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, that floor has skyrocketed.
He had like 40-something dead fellas and sold, or he's trying to sell them all. And he was, I saw he changed the PFP to killer bears.
Nice. That's funny. But that's the cool thing about MetaWin. Like, you could win a, for, you could enter for 0.008 to win a genuine undead worth $771. 0.015 for an invisible friends.
That's what, like $50?
Yeah, but when you think about it in ETH, it doesn't matter.
Right. Right? It's just 0.0.
Yeah. And then they do the ones that people have won, right? So you could do like, there's one coming up. If you win one, doesn't matter how big it is, you can enter for free into the a Moonbirds one that's worth $70,000. Or any, I mean, it's just, it's such a cool idea. Like, yeah, V-Friends, I mean, too, 0.008.
It's awesome. Moonbird, it's like playing the lottery, basically.
It is. I mean, but you only have 19,000 wallets.
Yeah. Your chances of winning are a little better than the lottery, but.
Yeah, I just think it's a, we should like try to do our own, like a web three putts. We just don't have the money to invest.
But I said, what are we giving away?
We could just buy one, like one good one.
Yeah.
And then do a, figure out how to do the raffle. Not like a mutant or a bored ape or something like that, but we could buy a killer bear for like $3,000, like three ETH. Whatever, yeah. And then get people to auction it or to put in like 0.01, you get 15,000. I mean, they're making a ton of money.
Yeah, that's true. Is that taxable? If you, obviously. Sure.
15,000 at 0.01, that's 150 ETH, and you only paid $3, 3 ETH for it.
Ooh, how many people would enter? We'd have to get some more followers somehow, though, to do that.
Yeah, we would. Well, we would. That'd be the struggle, because as of right now, we'd have like 40 people enter.
Yeah. That would not be a win for us money-wise, I don't feel like.
We'd have to, it'd have to be like point two to enter.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad.
$100, give or take.
0.2, I think it's like 200 right now.
Okay. Yeah, you're probably right. Yep, that was, yeah, you're right.
But hey, I'll pay 200 to have a 1 in 40 chance to win 3,600.
For sure. We'll have to get some.
We can talk to Helen next week about it and see if they'll back it.
I like that. Yeah, exactly. Hellcat, we're coming for you. We need your help. Yeah, no, I like it. I think that's a great idea. Yeah, maybe that'll help us.
We'll go from 775 followers, I should say, 75 followers to 80,000 followers in no time.
We've got a decent amount on Twitter now. We're approaching 300.
And we know they're not bots because Elon owns it now, so.
Yeah, no bots. That'd be cool. Yeah, let's work on that this week and see what we can come up with.
I'm in. But you were talking about that dead fellas thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, apparently this guy, the whale that owned 40 or something, he's a respected member of the community. I don't own any. I don't know. I'm not involved in it. But you know, the Twitter threads I was reading, I think Betty tweeted something about Trump. And how she wouldn't support anybody or follow anybody that followed Trump or liked his views, basically. And this guy got upset that she was dividing the community and she was taking it too far with the LGBTQ stuff. And, you know, she can voice her opinion, but she was like basically it's this way or the highway kind of thing. And so he got pissed and sold all of his dead fellas. And was like, you know, enjoyed it. Thanks for everything, guys. Peace. And I think Betty and him and Psych were arguing and stuff on that thread.
Yeah, I read the thread. I think anybody can have their own opinions on anything they want. I mean, it's a free speech and whatever. But he also has the right to do what he did.
Right.
So, you know, at the end of the day, it's how you want to handle it.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't anything crazy. Like, there was some bad blood in there, but I think he handled it well. You know, where he was just like, hey, you know, best of luck with everything. I just don't support what you're saying or doing or your views here. And you singling out people that do support this other side. He was like, you know, right. See you later.
And come on, they're from Australia. Like, you just moved to the country. Let's live here a little bit longer before.
Relax, yeah.
Before you come here and, you know, spew your politics on and force people to believe what you believe. You're from Australia.
You got enough problems in Australia. Y'all figure your stuff out first.
Like, yeah, watch out. You got kangaroos and stuff you got to worry about.
The cops are going crazy over there. The gun control's nuts. Like, yeah, figure your own stuff out. But
that's right.
Neither here nor there. But yeah, it's
still love
crazy.
Dead Fellas, though. Still love Dead Fellas. Still one of my bucket list NFTs to own. So.
Yeah, I still like them. I don't know if I'm going to buy one. That kind of threw me off the path, but it depends on what the price they're at. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to spend a lot of, like, if it gets over an ETH, I'm not spending an ETH on it now, I don't think.
No, I mean, it's at 0.7 right now.
And it got down to 0.5 and all that was going on.
I know. That was a time to buy, but.
Yeah. Could have bought that. There's your flip.
Right? 0.7, yeah, when it was 0.5.
Yeah.
Already made 0.02. Man, that sucks. I just never do it. Never pull the trigger.
Yeah, I know. I actually was close on that twice. I almost bought one for 0.5 like a couple months ago. And I tried. I put the offers in and that thing, I can't remember. It was that guy that was really, remember he had the sweater, the golf dude?
Yeah, but you were being stingy. You wouldn't budge on 0.02. Like you were like, this is my line in the sand and we're talking 0.02.
Yeah, that was my fault. That was on me. But what about
you got to have a code, though. You got to have a code. You got to have a line. And you don't cross it.
I mean, I've crossed it, and it doesn't work out. So I was like, you know, I'm not going to do it this time. I'm not chasing. I'm not going to chase it up. And, you know, that one bit me. But normally the ones we've chased, I'm very down on.
Well, I mean, you're down on every single one.
But, hey, the art's sick, man. I'm just a collector.
Right. We're all down on every single one.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, even Bored Ape.
No, I'm not. I bought that Aku. I bought that Aku for like 0.2 something, and it got up to 0.4. It's still in the threes right now.
Well, so, but with correction. ETH down, right?
I don't know.
With ETH down, would that?
Well, I didn't buy it too long. ETH was down when I bought it.
Oh, okay.
Maybe not as down as it is right now, but it was down. It was. That's not a loser for me. I'm flat, if anything.
But I don't think any of the ones that you own are what I would consider real losers. Not yet, at least.
Yeah, not yet. I do have that one, the tweaks.
Yeah, but you paid like minimal for that.
Yeah, it was very, very cheap. That was just kind of a. Hey, let's try this. But no, I don't have any rugs, and you know, all of them are still out there doing their thing, building. TBD when the bull comes back.
Amen.
TBD. I might do something crazy here soon. I don't know what's going on with the market because it was down bad. Now it's kind of making a comeback here today and yesterday. I was going to pull some money out and see if I could get a V Friends. And then I thought about, well, what if I just buy Cool Cats? Because it's like two. Try to get a rare one maybe and see if I could flip that one to something when the market comes back and just hold it for a little bit.
Yeah.
Don't know. I got some ideas, but we'll see. We'll see. I haven't bought anything lately, have you?
The Kooks is what the last thing I bought.
Yeah, we did. We both got the Kooks.
We're down on that one, too, but I love it.
It's a sweet.
Big fan of it. Oh, no, you bought the R Planet.
I bought R Planet and Kooks. Yeah, those are like at the same time.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I got those two Kooks. They're pretty cool. I like them. What about the Batum Bomb Squad?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I'm out.
Atom Bomb Squad is so good. Like we were talking about, I think you said it. Like the art's so clean, it's attractive, it looks good. The Batum drop is awful, and I love Atom Bomb Squad. I'll always hold mine unless something crazy happens. Love the project, but that is the worst looking cartoon thing. I don't even know what it is or who drew it, but who did the art? It's terrible. It's awful.
I mean, I just don't know what they were going for. I mean, when I saw that they were working on the project or it was coming, I'm like, oh, they're going to make a 5,000 piece collection based off of like the art from the ABS and just make new ones, a new 5,000 piece of it.
Yeah.
Instead, they just made it like a 3D looking and they just threw as much shit on each one that they could think of. I'm looking at one right now. It's a white with the little tooth coming down with face paint on it, a camo bandana with a pink mohawk, and then bat wings. It's like, come on.
Oh, my gosh.
What are we doing here?
The idea behind the whole thing was cool. So they took the royalties and applied it to the actual collector.
Mm-hmm.
So if you own the Batum from the original ABS, every time that, because I think they matched up the Batums to the original Batums, right? So if you own the original in the original collection, there is a matching Batum in the Batum Bomb Squad collection. And every time it sells, you get the royalties off of that by owning the original.
Mm.
So that was pretty cool. Some of the ideas they had with it were pretty cool. And I think they airdropped some people that if you minted one, they airdropped you one.
Yeah, like if I would have still had mine,
yeah,
I would have got at least one, maybe two, airdropped.
Yeah, if you would just had a ledger, like I've been telling you for years.
For a year. Or if I just didn't click links, one of the two.
That too, yeah.
But yeah, I just...
The concept's cool. The art, terrible.
I'm just trying to, like... I'm almost trying to talk myself into buying one right now.
Like they're kind of cheap, aren't they? Their mint price is way too high.
0.25? Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, that was the other thing. The mint price is ridiculous.
Like, there's this Master Shredder one I'm looking at right now.
If anything, you should buy one from the original collection. Then you can collect the royalties.
Yeah, well...
They got expensive once that they announced that. They went up to like...
Yeah, but everything... I mean, they're like 0.5, I think.
They were close to an ETH when I was looking when they first made the announcement.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I'm not into it.
Yeah, it's...
I'm not into the Batum.
No.
Not the Batum Bomb Squad for me.
Talking about royalties, though, they're starting to make a comeback. I don't know if you've been kind of seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
Where... OpenSea is now providing royalties again. So if you have it in your contract, they'll honor the royalties. And I think Blur is now doing the same thing. Or if you put it in the contract, they honor the royalties. So I'm starting to get back to the roots of Web3 and the whole process. So I thought that was good here lately. Kind of see how that progresses, but. Thing is back on track.
Yeah, I don't really understand why they took it away. Like, what are you trying to do here?
I listened to some stuff about it the other week, and they were talking that, you know, people that were trading them would see that fee and didn't want to pay 10% or whatever it was, because that comes out of their profit. And so some of these other aggregators, marketplaces recognize they could probably bring a lot of traders over if they cut the royalties.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody will come use their platform to trade. And so that's kind of how it started. And I think, you know, once the creators got involved, and because it's not like they were trying to make a ton of money on it. A lot of it was 5%. And the argument was that, hey, as we trade it, the price of ETH goes way up. That 5% gets to be a lot more as the price goes up. So you're making a ton of money, but not as many get traded once that price goes way up. And not as many right. people are going to buy when the ETH is really high and the price of the NFT is high. So they're not actually not making a ton of money once that thing goes up. And I think they went around in circles with a bunch of people and finally realized that it wasn't for the betterment of the community. And they're now allowing it to at least honor it. If you put it in your contract, they'll honor it. You know, they still, if you don't put it in there, there's no royalties.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think they just need to work with the blue chip projects and find out like why try to change things up on your own? I just don't, that's the part I don't really understand.
I know the founder of Bored Ape, he wrote a paper on this and was throwing out ideas on how they could fix it, but I didn't read it yet.
Yeah.
I think it was a Substack on it.
Mm.
So that's out there. Maybe we'll link it if anybody wants to read it.
Yeah, I don't really get what all was going on with that.
It is what
a little bit over my head. A little bit over my head.
Yeah, I mean, it's still being debated, so more to come. More to come. What about
Art Basel?
Yeah, this week.
Miami.
This week. I feel like we need to go to one of these. I mean, we're kind of a big deal in Web3 now that our presence might be starting to get requested.
Yeah, we just need we need our new logo.
We need our new logo. We need to gather our equipment and take our mics down there and see if we can ruffle a few feathers, man. But yeah, Art Basel is this week. Look, I was on their website earlier. It looks pretty cool. A lot of it's traditional art.
Mm-hmm.
And now that Web3 is obviously a big deal and NFTs, there, you know, a lot of that's there too. So I feel like one of these we need to go to. I wonder how the attendance is going to be at Art Basel. I know the last one, I think, was NFT London. And apparently that was a terrible turnout. Hmm. So hopefully they get a lot of people. I know I saw Gary was going and a couple other. I think Farouk is down there. You know, pretty much all the big.
Yeah, I saw he was. he just released the Rug Radio. Or he's getting ready to release the Rug Radio PFP.
They announced
it today.
Yeah, I saw he was doing some interviews with some folks down there.
You know what we should do? What the next thing right now would be perfect to do is to start our own crypto exchange.
Crypto exchange, okay. Decentralized.
FTX is gone. Everything's gone. So it's just basically Binance right now. Coinbase, obviously. But
yeah.
Now would be the time to get in there.
Do you think that guy's getting arrested or what? He still hasn't been, but SBF.
I don't know. I was watching a video. He was on an interview today, virtually with the New York Times, something to do with them. And then I guess there's a Good Morning America or one of those shows did a sit down with him at his place in the Bahamas. Weird cat, like,
yeah.
They asked him something about, like, how much money do you have? And he says, as far as I've been told, I have little to none left, which
yikes.
Is pretty crazy. So, I don't know. Like, I've read and listened to a bunch of stuff, and it's just like, it's really hard for anybody to really pinpoint with the Web3, the crypto space, like what the rules and the regulations are.
Yeah.
like there's nothing that's like set in stone, like if it was a stock or whatever. Yeah, yeah, right. There's nothing. So it's really hard to predict what's going to happen.
So talking about that, regulations, you know what a wash sale is?
Nope.
So I was listening to a podcast and I thought that's pretty interesting. This might help you and others for tax season. A wash sale, when it refers to stocks, is where, you know, if you bought some stocks during the year, they're down, and you need to do some tax loss harvesting to make up for your gains. You can sell your stocks at the loss, but you can't buy them back for 30 days.
Oh, yeah, 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 okay.
So otherwise, it's considered a wash sale. So if you buy it under the 30 days, it's a wash sale. You do not get the loss. You don't get to take the loss. But when it comes to crypto, that doesn't apply because crypto is not a security currently. It's under the IRS's view, it's property, not a security. So there's no wash sale in regards to crypto. So if you're down on, you know, if you're holding ETH or whatever right now, you're down and you need to take some losses for tax purposes, you can on December 31 and buy them right back on January 1st. Take the loss.
Interesting.
So there's no wash sale when it comes to crypto. I don't know if that's true with NFTs or not. I assume it would be because I don't think they're classified as a security either currently. So I think that would apply right there as well, where you could sell your NFTs you're down on, take the loss for taxes, and then buy them right back if you wanted them back.
Yeah, I don't. That's the one thing. Like, I wish I had a better understanding. As we get, you know, into it with the tax, I mean, there's, I know last year you said when you did your taxes, you know, it took you hours.
It was
you
a nightmare.
You didn't even make that many trades.
I didn't make any trades. I just bought. But you had to, you had to go through every, I think when you buy crypto, it's a taxable event. So you have to go through every transaction buying, and then when I transferred it from my Coinbase to Ledger, that was another, they tried to make it a taxable event, so I had to go in there and say, no, this is an internal transfer, my wallet to my wallet, and you got to label all of them. It's a nightmare. I'm going to try a different software this year. I heard about on Proof. I can't remember if I sent that to you, but, and I forgot the name of it.
Oh yeah, I listened to it.
Can't remember the name of that thing. Start with an S.
Me either.
But anyways, that's, it's a crypto NFT tax software. I used one last year called Coinly. And it was, mm-hmm. It worked fine. It was just, I had never used it before. And it was a total disaster trying to figure out how to do that for the first time.
Right.
I think this other one might be actually geared toward crypto NFTs. Excuse me. But so, yeah, I'm going to try that one this year, probably.
I was trying to find what it was.
It started with an S. I can't for the life of me remember what it was either.
Here it is. Token Tax.
Token. Okay, I was way off. Not an S.
Yeah, it was the Token Tax one. That's right. That was a good one.
I was actually on their website earlier looking up. They were talking about wash sales on their website. Should have known that.
Yeah, I think you can go on their website and you can like chat with somebody and you actually chat with real people and they can help you out without even.
Yeah, I was trying to watch YouTubes and try to figure out how to connect all of my wallets and my transfers. It was a total disaster. I was frustrated to the point I was ready to pay somebody $1,000 just to figure it out for me. Didn't care what the price. I don't care what the price is, just to do it. But I don't know if these people even know. You know, if you were to take that to an accountant,
I wouldn't trust it.
Your Joe Blow local guy, he's not going to know what the hell he's looking at. And let's say that guy's been in taxes for, you know, and he's 50-something years old. He's not going to know what the hell that is. NFTs and stuff.
Right. No, I wouldn't trust. Even one of my best friend, that's what he does for a living, is he's a tax professor.
Yeah.
And even if I ask him, he's like, he has very limited knowledge, I think.
Nobody knows because there's no regulations. That's the problem.
Right. Right.
I think right now you can kind of get away with murder as long as you're not like not claiming massive gains, you know, where you sold it and made 10,000. I think you can pretty much do whatever to right. an extent. As long as you tried, I think you'll be fine, you know, until they start figuring out what the regulations are going to be.
Yeah, like you can go on to your exchange, like Coinbase or whatever. And you can print off your like tax deal and it'll tell you, you know, your loss and then just go through it that way.
Yeah.
but yeah, I don't know. It's, it'll be interesting this year. 'Cause this will be the first year that I made any trades. Like the ones that I lost, the three that I lost, the three main ones, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I can claim them as a loss.
Because they were stolen? Yeah, I don't know.
Based off of that, I think I can only do it up to like $3,000.
Mm.
Although that's probably what it was less than that, I would say. Maybe. But yeah, so it's interesting. But also, like, if you're in my shoes and you're, they probably don't want me to file because I'll be claiming a loss and then they'll have to pay me more money.
Yeah.
They'll probably just be like, whatever, just go.
It's probably not worth your time to try to figure it out, you know, if you're already taking losses anyways.
Right. Exactly. You know? Yeah. So it's like, what I'm probably just going to do this year is just go on Coinbase and figure out, print off the little tax thing, put it in there, and just ride with it.
It's not like
I lost, you know, $50,000, right. or I gained. I mean, I don't know what the number would be that they really care about, but I'm pretty sure even if you gain $3,000, they don't give a shit about you.
Did you gain anything? Have you sold anything for a gain?
Well, I've sold two. I sold two for a gain, I believe. One or two. One for a gain.
It was
minimal. It was the weirdo. I bought one right at launch or at mint day and flipped it. I bought it for like 0.18 and doubled it. 0.36, yeah. Sold it at 3.6, and that was back in March, so ETH was in a decent shape then, but that's really it. So it's not like
still under $1,000 probably. They're not looking at that.
It was way under. Yeah, it was.
They're worried about these other dudes that are they're not claiming 10,000 or 20.
Yeah, and this isn't, again, it's not financial advice. We're not telling you what to do. This is just what I'm gonna do.
Definitely not. We may do something different by the time tax season rolls around. So, yeah, don't take this as law, but I'm no expert in crypto tax. But, yeah, I'm going to try token tax.
I don't know
tax.
If anybody is.
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows what the hell they're doing. So I'm going to try token tax. I'll let you know. And I won't do it for a while, but, yeah, I'll try that this year. And we'll revisit that and give a review.
We should do, like, a... each of us like put together like a list of questions and go on token tax and like talk to our own person.
See if you get the same answer.
Ask them questions and get like, instead of having one of them on the pod, we can just do the research that way and then report it back.
Yeah.
And talk about it. Or we could just go on their website and say, hey, does any of you want to come on our podcast and talk about crypto taxes?
Well, that guy was on the Proof podcast.
Yeah, but we're not Proof.
No. Not yet. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we can get somebody like that.
Yeah, your basic is $65 a year. Premium, 100, 200.
That's not bad. I paid over that last year for Coinly. I think it was 100 and something. And I had to YouTube everything trying to figure out how to work the dang thing. We'll look more into that as the season approaches. Maybe we'll get lucky and get somebody on here and talk about it. That knows more than you or I.
I'm I'm emailing Alex from Token Tax right now.
Hey, Alex, it's Cole and Rusty, Web3 Putts here. You might have heard of us. We're kind of a big deal.
I said, hey there, I'm looking for someone that, what's our email? Web3Putts
at Gmail. Yeah. We're looking for some advice. We have many NFTs worth nothing currently, but how can we do our taxes without the IRS knocking on our door?
All right. I told him, I gave him my email, so we'll see. Maybe Alex will come on.
All right, Alex, we look forward to seeing you. See you soon. Anything else, Rusty? You got anything else for us tonight?
I don't think so. Not winding down the year.
Yeah.
Got to go get ready to do little Elf on the Shelf first. Ooh. Day tomorrow.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. I got to get me a Christmas tree this weekend.
You go real or fake?
Real, obviously. Real, the only way to go.
I agree, but my wife apparently is allergic to it. So.
Oh, gosh. Unbelievable. No mac and cheese, believe her allergic to trees. What kind of wife?
Allergic to everything, apparently.
Glad she doesn't listen, because she's terrible.
Yeah. I didn't believe her our first Christmas that we lived together, and I'm like, nah, we can get a real tree. We can get a real tree.
Yeah.
She kept telling me I'm allergic. We went to the tree farm to pick one up. And we were there for like 5 minutes walking around, and her face just turned red, and she was all blotchy on her neck.
I'm
like, all right, well, I guess I'm stuck with, if I'm going to marry you, I'm stuck with a fake tree for the rest of my life.
Do you at least get the candles that smell like it and light those?
Yes, but I'm drinking a beer, Hoppy Holidays.
Heard of it.
And it's spruce, so it tastes like a Christmas tree.
I just love the smell. That's why I got to get a real tree.
No, I agree. My kids keep asking for one, but.
You should get them one up in their room or something. A little tiny Charlie Brownie.
I'm going to get one down here in the basement. Then that way my wife will never come down here.
There you go. Problem solved. Sounds like a lot of sports in your future.
Shitty sports.
All right, man. Well. Enjoyed it. We'll recap next week. I'll let you know about the golf, but good week. Have a good rest of the week. Thanks to all our sponsors again. We mentioned most of them. Recruiting Solutions is our last one. Hopefully they're doing well, getting a lot of recruits. And thanks for all of our listeners, our sponsors. You know where to find us at Web3Putts on all our socials. Give us a rate, review, subscribe. We would appreciate it. It helps us out. And until next time, good night.
Peace.